What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitchell Finley. He's an NFL legend, and the Niners might be tough again, B.
They may be. I mean, they still had a lot of things they did wrong. Listen, Geno Smith was completely off. If he was on last night, the Niners don't win that football game. So I'm still not saying that they're back like they were the last 3 years.
I've said this a million times. Anytime you're throwing the ball 52 times, you're probably losing.
Two-minute time, brother.
Geno's 30 for 52 last night. That's just not a winning recipe. They couldn't get the ground game going. That Niners defense deserves credit. But, Brian, to me, there's a big difference in what we saw last night versus the Niners of a couple of at various points this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, this stat exists. Maybe somebody can track it down and tweet me or whatever. But when Debo is on the field for them, they are a different club, man. When he misses time, they're very different.
He's a bad man. And that kid, Mason, that kid can play.
Yeah.
If he don't hurt his shoulder now, I think that if he didn't hurt his shoulder last night and was playing the whole game, they might just run away with that thing. They might have had 300 yards rushing.
Well, Brian, you know that the world often kind of centers around me. And, of course, Jordan Mason got hurt because I had him starting in fantasy.
Well, maybe you should stop. You and Jeff, you're the cooler. I mean, Jeff is the cooler, and you're like the Madden cover now, aren't you?
not only did I have Jordan Mason going last night in fantasy, but my boy Matico that I was playing had Debo going in fantasy. So it was kind of insult to injury there. Honestly, I think the Niners might be a good representation of why certainly you and me to a lesser degree, because I am allowing myself to get excited at this point, but why you want to take your time when you start talking about, you know, what this season is and who's good and who's bad. Like, there's six games in to a 17-game schedule. Mm-hmm. The Niners are now 3-3. As guys maybe get healthier, start coming back, that will only continue to help them. You know, I just might be too early to give up on San Fran.
I think it is. I never said they were cooked. So the thing about them, though,
I don't think either of us did.
The question about them is, are they a little full of themselves because they get hurt a lot? And when I see a team getting hurt a lot, I think they're practicing very easy. They're not really pushing themselves. So when you get into this real action, you know, will they be healthy the whole year? Christian McCaffrey has played how many games this year? None. Okay.
You know that he's like in Germany trying to get like.
See, that
Remember when Kobe had to redo his Achilles?
I understand.
And he went to Germany?
It's annoying, bro. Like, you know, yes. That dude misses games a lot. So he got to get on the field. They need him on the field. Unless they feel they could just hold on until he comes back.
We'll see, man. We have a packed show. It's going to be a busy day. Brad Jackson, if you guys don't know Brad, he worked with Brian and I at Comcast Sportsnet back
in
the day.
One of the craziest men in the world. Say it like that.
Let me say.
He's a little different. I will just say that.
The brother is different. Played his college ball at Cincinnati. He was drafted by the Dolphins. Won a Super Bowl with the Ravens. He's a character, and I cannot wait to talk to Brad about this game. And I can only imagine a dude like so. The guys back in the day at the old office, I'm just going to be totally honest about a couple things. We covered the Skins and the Ravens, right?
Yeah.
And the Ravens were really, really good,
really,
especially
good
in that time, right? Yep. This is when they won their second Super Bowl, and Flacco was cooking, and Ed Reed and Ray Lewis. I mean, they were good.
Uh-huh.
So the Ravens were legitimately good, and the Skins were the Skins. There would be the occasional flare of hope and then just a whole bunch of mediocrity, aggressive mediocrity, right?
Yep.
But the reality of our market and the reality – I apologize to the people in Baltimore listening to this. The reality of our two cities is that what happens in Washington is just far more important.
Yes.
Always has, always will be. Yes. That's just the reality, folks.
Oh, yeah.
And because of that, let's say, I don't remember what the resources were, right? But let's say it's 100%. There's 100% of resources.
Mm-hmm.
What do you figure? 70% of them were devoted to the Skins and the Ravens got about 30?
No. 85-15.
Okay. 85-15.
Might be 85. They got 10 and everybody else got 5.
It might have been it.
Yeah.
But so the guys, for us, that we all worked together, but the guys that covered the Ravens didn't always necessarily love that they had the much better football team to cover, and still everything was focused on the burgundy and gold.
Yeah, I mean, so, they should have got somebody in Baltimore to have a show.
Yeah. So, except for when they went on the Super Bowl run and the network threw everything they had at it.
Oh, but, yeah, I remember. They sent us down there.
Yeah. I was still a very, very low-level employee. I didn't get to make that trip, but whatever.
That was a fun trip.
I can only imagine. A week, a Super Bowl week in New Orleans? Good God.
Yeah, I like calling out.
But, so B, I tell that backstory to get to this point. And Brad's going to join us at 11.
Yeah.
But with Brad, he undoubtedly thinks the Ravens are the superior organization, which you can make an easy claim to.
They were. They were.
Right. And be dismissive of Washington at all times. Although I don't think even a dude like Brad, even Carlin, like a lot of these dudes that, you know, kind of lived in both worlds and recognized what Baltimore was compared to the team in Ashburn, I don't think you could be like that anymore. Baltimore's still probably the much higher favorite to win the Super Bowl this year or whatever.
Probably so.
But things have changed in Washington significantly.
Yeah, it has. It has. It's changed a lot, and let's hope it keeps going that way. The ultimate thing is the past is the past. It's now the present. We're going to see if Brad will be in the present. But I know he's going to talk some trash, though. If he doesn't, he's not Brad. We're going to have to find out who the clone is.
Yeah, like maybe if he doesn't come out firing means he found Jesus or something. I don't know. We'll find out.
I'll tell you a story later on about what he did calling in the basement. One day we were leaving, and I think Rob had to go check his undies.
Oh, jeez. I just got a text from a former salesperson, or I guess a salesperson that we used to work with at the old company, B. Uh-huh. He said Redskins revenue was 5X Ravens revenue. That's all you need to know.
Hey, and that's why he was talked about more.
Yeah.
You can say what you want about what you think. It all comes down to how much green that company is getting from one Indeed. Particular place.
Indeed. So, B, all over my Instagram feed last night, I had crazy wild card Scotty texting me pictures. Greg Height was sending me pictures. Everybody got to see the Northern Lights. Did you see any of this?
No.
Are you even aware of this?
Bro, I was inside chilling. I wasn't wearing no damn lights outside.
So, I would love to see them. I didn't know
Scotty
last night.
Scotty sees Northern Lights every day. Greg probably went outside because
Northern Lights is a brand of Kush.
Because his son probably had to do it for school. That's the only reason Greg went outside. Greg's scared of snakes, so there's a lot of snakes out there. So if he's outside, it's because he had a reason.
So here's my thing. I love that kind of stuff. I put very little effort or research into knowing when that kind of stuff is going to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know about it last night, and then it starts popping up all over my phone. And where I live, so because of the stream now, I guess you can tell, I have to work from home today. My oldest daughter has a fever, and we had some family stuff, so I'm here. I don't know if you heard that. A helicopter just went over my house. Like, I live about a mile to the D.C. line. Like, it's busy. We couldn't see anything last night. All I saw was just cloudy, dark sky.
Hey.
I wonder, with your big backyard, B, if you had gone outside, you might have been able to see it.
I might have been able to see it, but guess what? I wasn't going outside.
It's a natural phenomenon. No interest?
Hell no.
Well, I'm guessing Landfill didn't walk outside to see it.
How often does it supposedly happen?
Bro, it's rare, dude.
Okay, well, I guarantee you the news will have pictures and stuff.
Sure. Well, apparently, so it's not rare. This probably is related to, like, the Earth's temperature changing or whatever. But it's not rare in, like, Greenland and Iceland. They call them the Northern Lights because I think it's, like, a magnetic thing that happens from the North Pole or whatever. Not, like, okay, the Santa Claus North Pole, like the actual North Pole.
Hey, Greg said, B, you hit the nail on the head. I know he went outside. Look, his son had to go out there for school, and that's why he was out there.
Well, I might try again. Somebody in the chat, good morning to everybody in the chat, says the Comet will appear Sunday night. I hope, frankly, the Comet I want to see Sunday night is Terry McLaurin going 85 yards to the end zone, like we saw Debo do yesterday.
By the Comet.
But I would like to see the crazy light show. I don't think you could do it from where I live, so somebody give me some guidance where that may occur. Good morning, Landini. Landini, did you see the Northern Lights?
Hell no. He was asleep at 7:30.
I did.
Then he's up at midnight.
You saw him?
Yeah.
Tell the truth.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Hell no.
I mean, not the outside kind, but like.
He was
high. Hold on. You saw it on Instagram or you walked outside and saw it?
No. He said he didn't see the outside kind. He was high.
Leville, tell us what kind you saw.
I mean, I was holding it in my hand.
Oh. I don't even know what that means, dude.
No.
Okay. So we were 0-3. Maybe Jeff saw him. When Jeff calls in later, Jeff had some stuff come up today.
Hell no, Jeff didn't see him.
Listen, Jeff gets high, dog. He might have seen it. Here's how this is going to go. None of us saw the lights. Maybe we'll try tonight. Apparently there's a Comet on Sunday. Maybe I'll try for that. Brad Jackson's going to join us at 11. 12:15, Maryland Governor Wes Moore joins us. He, I believe, has been named honorary captain this weekend. It is pretty wild. PFT comments are joining us at 1 o'clock. We're going to have phone lines open intermittently. And Jeff Walker's hype song.
Did anybody see a bear other than Greg?
He sent me pictures of the bear in his yard.
Yeah, he went outside, saw the bear, went back inside.
I don't blame him.
Say hell with that.
We get little foxes at my house. You get any foxes, B?
Yeah, I get foxes all the time. We have, that was a black bear seen one time in the neighborhood, but you know.
Really?
The black bear like to stay away. Brown bear will come at you.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's good to know.
Black bear are docile. They will stay away unless you are trying to harm them or their little babies. But the brown bear will hunt you down. They're aggressive.
Okay.
That's normally like out there in Cali and Tahoe and all that crap.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever seen a bear, but I'm not really interested either. They're pretty, I don't know. I'm not messing with bears. I like camping occasionally and stuff, but I'm not like the biggest outdoorsman. I'm sure that surprises a lot of
people. But once they tell me there's bear out there, and I'm like, what color? And they say brown, I'm not going.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, no northern lights, no bears, got it.
Hey, man, certain things I'm not excited about. When I was in school, they would discuss that type of thing way back. But now I don't care.
Damn, dude. Mitch Tischler just sent me a picture from his brother that lives in Kensington. I believe that is Russ that lives in Kensington. He saw the Northern Lights. If you can see him in Kensington, I should be able to see him from my house.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We need a Northern Light expert. And if I want to know about it, maybe I'll text Cameron.
Text Cameron. He could tell you.
Yeah, I'll see if we can get Doug for a brief moment on the Northern Lights, because Lord knows we are the blind leading the blind on this topic.
Oh, we're not. I'm not trying to lead anybody. I'm letting you know right now, I can care less. Will the Northern Lights make our checks bigger today? No.
Hell
with it.
Very anti-Northern Lights.
Yeah.
Yesterday after the show, I was in the locker room for a while and talked with some of the veterans. And, I mean, over and over and over again, these guys don't want to hear this measuring stick conversation. Lanville, I'm sending you some audio right now of Terry McLaurin. And it's funny, man, when you talk to Terry, he gives such long, in-depth answers that it'll go like a lot of different directions, but it always lands. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I asked Terry.
Terry will tell you exactly what's on his mind. You just got to be patient.
Right. I think one of the things I really enjoyed, frankly, was I don't know how to say this the right way. Over the years, I've covered Terry since he was a rookie, right? I've covered him since he was a third-round draft pick. I remember talking to him that night of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
and gotten to know his family a little bit. Terry takes the high road pretty much at all times. But when he is pissed or frustrated, he still takes the high road, but he'll kind of let you know that he's pissed and frustrated.
You just got to look in his face.
It's just that for sure.
Just like on the football field, he rarely does anything demonstrative. But when somebody's yapping, watch him.
Oh, yeah.
Watch him. Like Diggs was yapping that time, remember? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Darius Slay got it, too. It's a great point. If you speak Terry, you know when he's pissed, and you know he'll let you know. Remember, I think it was Terry who had the cardio line last year. After Howell just kind of wasn't letting go of the ball, they dropped back like 60 times, and they're like, "Yeah, we just ran a bunch of cardio."
I forgot. <about.
laughs> that was a pretty funny line. But B, as we get into this matchup, man, you could just feel. It's kind of two things, right? There's all this buildup among fans and media. I mean, dude, put ESPN on or NFL Network or whatever. Like, this is a hot
topic.
Sometimes
I'd rather not.
But the players are like, yo, it's a big game, but it's just a game.
Yeah.
It's week six.
And that's the player's mindset.
I think it's smart.
Yeah, I just think that's why the players are on the field and we're not. Because if we as fans and media people were to actually go through a season and had to be on the field the way that we are, we wouldn't make it. We'd be too damn exhausted. We make everything bigger than it is and everything like smaller than what it is. They just try to stay even keel.
Well, so I just sent the great Landini some audio here from Terry and from Zach Ertz. You've been saying this for a few days now, Brian, that, you know, athletes don't look at the Ravens as some unstoppable force because they're like, yo, I'm a pro football player too, and I will kick your ass. And that has to be the mindset.
Hell yeah.
And I think especially with the proliferation of like legalized gambling and stuff, but now that odds are so prevalent and even non-gamblers are pretty aware of what odds are, and we talk about Super Bowl favorites and contenders and all this stuff. If you're an NFL team, I don't care how bad the Panthers are or whatever team you think is the worst in the NFL. When that team met in late July for the first time, dudes in that room had to believe they could win the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah.
And I think that is a disconnect between the mindset of pro athletes and the mindset of what fans understand.
And even if you think you're not at that level, you think it's just a matter of time before we are. You have to have that mindset.
Right.
You know, that's why that what was it, the big poem, the talk about the man in the arena?
Yeah.
It's different.
Teddy Roosevelt speech.
When you're in the arena, your mindset is totally different than those that are sitting in the stands watching. It has to be. If it's not, be eaten by the lions, dog.
I don't want to get eaten by lions. I don't want to get eaten by bears. I just want some nice cooked food, some nice clean drawers. Man, I'm getting people sending me all kinds of... Tailgate Ted apparently saw the northern lights from his house in Northeast D.C. If you can see him in Northeast, you should see... I'm finding them tonight.
You just weren't outside, dog. And well,
dude, I was...
Walk out in the street.
Sunroom.
You got to get away... You got a sunroom that's under all them damn trees, and you got a big old hill in the back. You got to go outside and be in the street to look up.
All right. I will work on it. I will work
on it. All the head and brain and ears you got, you can't hear and think.
Never claimed to be smart, B. All right. We got to get into this matchup. Simple question. Brian, you played football for a number of years. You scored a number of touchdowns. You ran for a number of yards.
Yeah.
When there's a quarterback like Lamar, who, as you correctly reminded the world, it's either him or Vic as far as the best running quarterback ever.
Yeah.
I think people kind of forget about Randall, probably forget a little bit about Steve Young.
Steve Young and Randall are not those two. I can tell you that. They were good.
Not,
They were good.
Right.
But they like those two. Not running.
These dudes have evolved in a way. Like, I never saw them, but apparently Fran Tarkenton was a really good runner. But this is a different universe.
Yeah, I broke one of his records in college.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Where'd he go to college?
I don't know, but it was a touchdown record. When I went for 47, he had 46, I think.
All right. Now you got me in college football reference looking up Tarkenton.
And then D. Dowers broke mine.
Fran Tarkenton went to Georgia.
All right.
And you broke. This can't be right. Did he play in 1958?
He played a long time ago, dog.
Okay.
And then when he got to the Vikings, I think it was the Vikings he played at. He did a lot of running there, too.
Yeah.
He was and a he wasn't that big of a dude.
I didn't realize the Vikings went to 4 Super Bowls back in that era.
I thought they went to 5 total.
Did they?
I think
they had that really good defense, and they lost all of them, man.
Yeah, everyone.
I mean, that they were the Bills before the Bills.
Well, the Bills went 4 years in a row.
I mean, that's crazy. All right, we're off topic. Fran Tarkenton. you got Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
Who is maybe the greatest running quarterback of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Derrick Henry, who I think of the current generation is probably the best back of this generation.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not the best, he's right there. But he's won the rushing title a few times. I mean, he's had some massive seasons. Defensively, you know how to run good offense. How do defenses, I'm not saying they'll succeed, but what is the plan when you see a backfield like this?
Like the Ravens backfield?
Yeah.
Your plan is, like, you got to do, just like Joe Witt would say, if you go out there and you follow your assignments and do the things you're supposed to do, you'll have a chance. If you go out there and try to become a hero, you're going to be in trouble. So if they have proper gap integrity and the linebackers are filling properly, like I said yesterday, if you make Derrick Henry stutter step, you got a chance. If he's hitting the line full stride, you got a problem. Like I say, Houston, we got a problem.
How much of it is having that D-line at least kind of stand up the Ravens' O-line so that these linebackers have a chance to make a play?
I think that is very important. Like you know, when we were in, I think I mentioned this to you about the Bengals game a little bit, where we were so hell-bent on rushing upfield, and we never disengaged from the offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. And those guys were hitting those gaps like bang, bang, bang. If they stab them and get rid of them, not only will they be in a hole, or if they stab them and they're sitting in a hole and they got a two-way go to be able to toss and go the other direction, linebackers there too. There's not a lot of space for them to work. But if you're just hell-bent on beating that guy so you want to just push him all the way back, you're going to run right past all tackles, and you can't do that. So they have to be able to make sure that they're going to engage that offensive lineman and be able to get rid of him when you can. And I will say this. Don't allow the offensive lineman to grab you, because if they grab you inside, they won't call that. That's why offensive linemen get away with holding a lot. You let them grab you around your right on the breastplate of those shoulder pads, they're going to steer you like you're a damn car, and you can't do anything about it. So they better be able to hit, extend, toss, and let the linebackers hit the open gaps.
It's going to be vital. I think, you know, you have mentioned that plenty, and Dan Quinn finally started. I think it might have been after the Bengals game. I was trying to find the exact quote. But eventually, after one of those poor defensive performances, and I want to say it was after the Bengals game,
mm-hmm.
he said, we're working on our technique a little bit. We're trying to not get upfield as much. And I think against a lot of quarterbacks, you want to rush the passer, obviously. But with a dude like Lamar, contain is more important. Keep him in. Keep him contained. Make him throw.
But see, think about Lamar. Lamar is different than most quarterbacks, where most quarterbacks want to escape outside.
Right.
Lamar escapes outside up. And in those B gaps. And if you allow him through the B gap, it's an instant problem. Like,
for sure.
I think what happens is once, you know, once you realize, like, you want to, boom, you stab him. Now you know it's not a run. Now you can get upfield, but you don't just go blindly upfield. You run past running plays all the time.
I mean, we've seen it.
Yeah.
Here. And I think they've done a pretty good job of correcting it. In the Arizona game, they still ran the ball really well. The Cardinals did. But if you go back to last week, at halftime, the Browns had 18 rush yards. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They did not. The stats got a little skewed late in that game. Ford and Foreman gave them a little something late in that game. But they finished 23 for a 104. And I don't think you're going to get that again. But if you get that kind of effort again, it helps when Deshaun Watson's a quarterback and he just doesn't even make throws on time. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to get that this week. But I really think, you know, we were talking about this, B, in that Bengals game. And the Ravens and the Bengals played a pretty similar game as the Commanders and the Bengals. You know, the Commanders went out there, won 38-33. Baltimore went out there, needed OT, needed a kind of fluky bad snap, bad hold to win that thing.
Yep. But they allowed 38 points to be scored. Remember
right.
That?
They won 41-38. So they were both high-scoring games.
Yeah.
You said this after the game because at that point, Washington had won two in a row, but their defense was giving up a ton of yards.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, in the second quarter of that Bengals game, there were three possessions where you want to call it bend but don't break maybe. The Bengals missed a field goal, and then they kicked field goals from the Washington 9 and from the Washington 13.
Yes.
So they went on long drives on two consecutive possessions in the second quarter of that Bengals game. The Bengals went 11 plays, 47 yards, missed a field goal from the Washington 30.
Yeah.
Their next possession be 11 plays, 61 yards, kicked a field goal from the 9-yard line. So they're getting to the red zone.
They have been stingy in the red zone.
And then another one, 9 plays, 57 yards, Bengals kicked a field goal from the 13. I don't know how much they're going to stop Lamar and Henry and Zay Flowers and Isaiah Likely. I don't know that they're going to stop them. But if you just slow them down and get threes instead of sevens, the way your defense is playing,
The thing about the Ravens is they can get three from anywhere on the field, basically. Justin Tucker hit that thing from anywhere.
He's not performing to the level he has in the past.
He's not performing to the level he has been, but you know if they get down to it and they need a 62-yarder, he can make it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you want to score touchdowns and be able to stifle them some. I just think that in this game, you want to make sure you don't lose to the legs of Henry and Lamar. Because when they're running ragged, that's a long day. You want Lamar to throw the ball more. Point blank.
You'll hear from Terry McLaurin when we return, and maybe we'll even squeeze in a phone call. Who needs to step up for the Commanders? Nobody go anywhere. B. Mitch.
What up?
So we talk about you put on ESPN, NFL Network, FS1, whatever you put on, and they're talking about the Commanders.
Yep.
What would you consider the preeminent financial media in the United States?
The financial media in what aspect?
Newspaper.
Is that the newspaper?
The Wall Street Journal, right?
Okay, yeah.
The Wall Street
Journal. Are they talking about Jaden Daniels?
Bro, you want me to read you the headline from the Wall Street Journal?
Yes.
Rookie sensation versus reigning MVP. The NFL game of the year nobody saw coming.
Wow.
The Wall Street Journal, B. You got to have a password. I don't have it. I can't read it.
The Wall Street Journal cares?
Money.
Yes. They're going to generate some money. Know how I know? Their tickets cost $500 in the 500 level. That's how I know.
Yeah, dude. The Washington Commanders and Baltimore Ravens are neighbors but not rivals. Sunday's quarterback showdown, breakout Jaden Daniels versus known dynamo Lamar Jackson, could change the regional mood. This is the Wall Street Journal, B.
That's good right there, brother.
It's pretty cool, right? Dude, I also, the Ravens, I'm on the Ravens PR distribution list, and they always do a real good job, like, sending out information. You know, I tweeted this out last night, but I doubt you were looking at Twitter last night. Do you know what Lamar Jackson's all-time record is against the NFC?
I think he lost one game. He's 21-1, something like that.
21-1.
Yeah. I heard
21
that. 21-1. I pay attention, though.
Now, you know the one team they lost to?
Who is that?
Daniel Jones, the New York Football Giants.
Wow.
All right, how about this? Terry McLaurin.
But they say Lamar's like that. Wouldn't it be John Harbaugh because he got a little secret because he used to play against his team all the time?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It also might just be one of those fluky things, but I don't. The sample's pretty damn big for it to be fluky.
Yeah.
Terry McLaurin is a leader, is a Pro Bowler. He's committed to Washington. He signed an extension here. Terry McLaurin talking about this week and what they built right now.
Terry, you've committed to winning here long term. Mm-hmm. This team hasn't been 4-1 probably since you were in elementary school. What does it mean to be out to start fast and have, you're the Commanders Ravens' biggest game of the weekend.
Yeah, I think it's extremely important to get off to a fast start. I think a lot of teams in the first few weeks of the season are trying to create an identity, fill out their team, and I think we've done a great job of improving each and every week. I think when we had some early, obviously the first loss of the season, but even the red zone struggles that we had against the Giants, we turned around the next week and we started creating those and making those touchdown drives. And I think going forward, we have to continue to build on that. I think the momentum that we're starting to gain as a team is you're starting to see a lot more complimentary football, where even when we had turnovers, defense held the Browns to 3 last week, and they're creating turnovers and giving us opportunities to get to touch the ball again. And so when you are in situations to just play off of one another, offense, defense, special teams, I think that creates a fun environment to be a part of. And I think really what I think we're hanging our hat on is the way we're preparing each and every week. I think each week we're honing in on the details more and more, and we're having fun out there in practice. And even when we're during the season, we're going have opportunities to go ones versus ones, which I think keeps the competitiveness going. And so we're excited where we are right now, but it's still a long season, and going into a hostile environment, we just got to be really keen on the details to be able to have success against a great team like this. But we're confident in our ability too. You know what I mean? I don't think we're going in here, see how we measure up. I think we're creating identity of ourselves, and we know it's going to take all of us to be able to bring the identity to light and execute at a high level so we can have a chance to win the game.
I like it.
I liked when he's like, yeah, you know, going into a hostile environment, we know this is a legit spot, but, you know, we could play too. And I think they've done a real good job all week of walking that line of respecting Baltimore, but knowing, dude, we're playing ball too, man.
And I think that's the way athletes think. And the confidence, like he's right about the confidence level. There's no way that they're not super confident right now. He came out the first game, and they knew they didn't play their best. But then the next 4 weeks, I don't think they played their absolute best as a team in all 4 weeks. But they won 4 games. And now, what does that do? That makes them work harder in practice, study a little bit more, start pushing for that perfection. You know what I'm saying? And if they just keep striving, no one is ever perfect. But you keep striving to get there, you get better. You know what I mean? So I like the mindset.
For sure, man. For sure. I think Terry has always kind of hit the right mindset. I think a lot of guys, I think they put together we did an interview with Maury Povich yesterday on the podcast. And Maury, you probably know him, B, is just a huge old school Skins fan.
Yeah.
And he asked us, he's like, you know, one question that I have is how was everybody able to come together so fast? If you think about how many new parts there are for this football team, really they've now spent, call it 6 months, you know what I mean? Like OTAs really kind of kick off in May, and you get May and June, you get most of July off, and then training camp. It's not that much time for a group to have come together in a way that seems different than it has in a long time.
Well, they brought in stars that still have something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
The stars that they kept around still have something to prove. And they have a lot of young guys that they brought around that are hungry as hell. When you have that type of mindset and a new coaching staff, and the new coaching staff tells you, if you can play, I'm going to play you. That right there, Carl, that's how you get everybody to buy in. And that's how you get to where they are so quick. They didn't bring in, like, everybody out there that wants, every time somebody else's star who's disgruntled comes free and y'all want them to come here, your team wouldn't be where it's at right now with a lot of those other guys. I guarantee you that. They may be better talented, but just because you're talented don't mean you win. When you're talented and everybody buys in and you work together for the same accord, then all of a sudden your team is good. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So be happy that they're working this thing how they did, and the people that they kept around, they want to win for this team. They're not trying to be here just for themselves.
It's a hell of a time.
Yeah.
The Wall Street Journal's covering the Commanders. Nosebleeds for Commanders Ravens are $800.
Woo!
What a time to be alive. Trust me when I say this, you're going to want to hear Brad Jackson. He's on with us next. Nobody go anywhere.